From Odyssey, I'm Lauren Berry, and this is the On Deadline podcast, where we bring you deeper dives into top news stories. This week, we're coming to you from the Democratic National Convention in Chicago, Illinois. There, two veteran political reporters, Doug Sovereign from KCBS Radio in San Francisco, and Craig Dallimore from WBBM News Radio in Chicago, are covering the event. We're lucky enough to have both of them join us for daily updates this week as we head into the real start of what's already been a history-making election season. Here's their day four talk.
Okay, day four, the final day of the convention, but we're going to talk about day three, what happened last night, here on our On Deadline Odyssey podcast. I'm KCBS political reporter Doug Sovereign, along with my colleague Craig Dallimore from WBBM here in Chicago. Craig, third night, I can offer my thoughts, but let's start with you this time. Well, what did you think of the third night with Governor Tim Walz as the featured speaker? We had Bill Clinton, we had Oprah Winfrey, one of Chicago's own. What'd you think?
I think it was an evening designed to do what it did, was just to ramp up the excitement about the team. We also have been talking about the kind of music. There was more music last night than we had seen, and more headliners. But Bill Clinton was Bill Clinton.
Sure was.
Relaxed, nice, making sense, or even as he wore the title explainer in chief. And then played against that by saying that he couldn't explain anything about what the Republicans were doing. But obviously the highlight, and everybody was waiting for it, was the speech by the vice presidential nominee. And I think Tim Walz, really, he knew the assignment and he carried it out.
You know, it's interesting. The crowd obviously loved it. They had all the Coach Walz signs, and he really leaned heavily into the football coach thing with all his former players on the stage, and one of them introduced him. I thought that the emotional moment of his family reacting to him, his wife and his two kids, especially his son Gus, in tears. That's my dad. I love you, Dad. I mean, it was so heartwarming to see, and all that love and emotion between the members of that family. To me, that was sort of the emotional high point. And then I felt like his speech, I played football when I was a kid. It reminded me of the coach yelling at me at halftime. It was a good speech, and he kept it short and sweet. Unlike Bill Clinton, Tim Walz has learned the lesson, always leave them wanting more. He stayed under his 20-minute limit, and Bill went, three times his 12-minute limit. I felt like he was, there was kind of a harangue. I mean, he didn't smile a lot. It was a lot of sort of lecturing, which I wasn't crazy about, but I thought it'd be a little more Midwest nice dad jokey and a little less football coachy, but they leaned into the football coach persona, and I thought they sort of beat that metaphor into the ground a little bit. But it was an effective speech, and I think everybody liked him, and the delegates certainly did.
Yeah, and I think this goes back to what we were saying yesterday, that they had to guard against him seeming artificially folksy.
Right.
And so maybe he was dialing back the dad jokey, Tim Walz, and playing up the coach. Like you said, that's what the signs were. The signs weren't lunchroom monitor. They were coach, and they were chanting coach. So, I think if they reined him in a little bit, okay. But it was a good speech. Clinton did go a little long, but then everybody expects Clinton to go a little long.
Yeah, he's not the most disciplined man. Reading off pages, not the teleprompter, reading off of nothing, just riffing for a while, threw the whole thing off schedule. But it's interesting also, they really went heavily with the coach thing. He didn't talk too much about his military service. He opened by talking about it, wearing the uniform proudly. But it's, given how much pushback they've gotten from the Trump campaign about some of the details of his military service, he talked about it, but it was much more, I'm a coach, I'm a dad, than it's, I served in the military.
Yeah, and I should point out, if in case anyone's wondering whether that very brief moment showing his family, as you point out, the most touching moment of the speech, at the delegation breakfast here for Illinois, two speakers, including Senator Dick Durbin, mm-hmm. honed in on that moment as the thing that showed them the most about Tim Walz. And I mean, one of our speakers said, I lost it. He said, when I saw them, he said, I started crying. And this is a guy who's like a big athlete kind of guy, and said, that just did it for me.
Yeah, and I think that's what, we talk about. You need to project authenticity and just be who you are. The advice Nancy Pelosi always gives everyone in entering politics, including Kamala way back when, is just be yourself. Be who you are. Don't try to be anything other than you are. And that was such an authentic moment that I felt like it doesn't even matter what he says now. He's got America with him, unless he blows it in some way, which he didn't. And also, I mean, Oprah Winfrey before him, she was so strong. She sort of had the Michelle Obama role. She sort of overshadowed Tim Walz in that she was just so good, which you'd expect her to be. But yeah, those were the highlights of the evening, I think.
Just because I grew up with R&B music
Hey, Stevie
in that
Wonder,
era,
yeah.
I've got to say, having John Legend channel
Right.
Prince,
Prince.
that was a moment. But I mean, that was also good. I mean, to get the crowd up and dancing
Right.
and really energetic, that's part of what this is supposed to do as well.
Yeah, and we saw that the night before with the roll call. And then last night we had Stevie Wonder, we had John Legend, Sheila E. doing Prince. Tonight we are expecting, so they have to do something like that tonight. There are a lot of senators, governors speaking tonight leading up to Kamala Harris. We're going to hear Adam Kinzinger, of course, the Republican former congressman who broke with Trump notably. He's got a pretty prime speaking slot. We're going to hear from our other California Senator, Alex Padilla, about his time working with Kamala Harris in the Senate. We know that the Chicks, formerly the Dixie Chicks, will do the national anthem, and we have Pink on the entertainment agenda. I have to imagine, we don't know who else there is yet, but they've got to have someone like that, somebody to keep the energy level like that. After doing it the first couple of nights, you can't have it flag on the night when most people will watch. I mean, the ratings typically go up as much as 20% on the final night because people tune in to see what this nominee is all about.
Yeah, and none of us is saying it aloud because I don't think anyone wants to jinx it. And
Right.
plus, we don't know anything, but I think we all know who everyone wants to see, given what the theme of the Harris campaign has been. But even getting Pink is fine. But if you're going to have an EGOT winner like John Legend and Stevie Wonder on the stage the night before, I agree with you. You need some big name
I'd
or two.
forgotten. Is he an EGOT? Well, let's see. He's got an Oscar. He's
Yes,
definitely got Grammys. What's he got a Tony for? Okay.
he did music for a
For a
play too,
musical.
so
God,
yeah.
so there you go. And yes, the Queen, who we hope shows up. People keep asking me that. There is no information that we've got that she's going to do that. They
Yeah.
may play the song without her there, but it's possible. It's not out of the realm of possibility. People also keep asking about Taylor Swift, who's been touring. She's over in London. I don't think that's going to happen,
Yeah,
but
I don't think that's going to happen. But now let's remember, this is the age of technology. I
this
can
is true.
envision
She doesn't have to be there in person.
he doesn't have to be there in
Right.
person. She could satellite it in, and that would be as effective. I mean, we've seen candidates satellite themselves
Right.
in.
And we saw it the other night. I don't think, I mean, you got to be careful though if you're Kamala Harris. I can imagine the debate inside the campaign. You want the takeaway from tonight to be whatever she says and her speech and her moment. You want that to be what people are talking about tomorrow morning, not who the huge star who sang was. So to some extent, maybe they'll bring out George Clooney or something, but to some extent, you don't want to overshadow your candidate no matter what you do on the final night.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. However, I also think that Kamala Harris has shown over the last couple of weeks that she can hold a stadium full of people and hold their attention and really be as high energy. And this is part of her assignment tonight. And I think she will do it. And people are anticipating it. Maybe there's too much anticipation. Maybe she can only disappoint because of what people's
Right.
expectations are. But I think she's gonna give it her all.
She can bring the energy. There's no doubt. She's a great speaker, especially working off a script. I mean, they've had time to write this thing. She's not always great on her feet extemporaneously. She sometimes gets caught in these word loops, but giving a speech, she's as good as it gets. And she's got tremendous energy. She's charismatic. Now, we know that she spent the night in last night, didn't come to this party, the California delegation party that she was supposed to be at where I was, decided to call it a night very early, didn't come to the convention. We're told it's because she was resting her voice. There's some buzz going around. Does she have a sore throat? Oh no, what does that mean? I don't think there's any truth to that. I think they just wanted her to hunker down and get ready. So let's hope she's in full fettle and ready to roar at this thing tonight. And I think, She doesn't have to do Barack Obama's soaring oratory, but she has to leave on a very positive note. This whole campaign, it's about joy, the joyful warrior. She's got to bring energy and have it look forward. And the future is the theme tonight. Tonight's theme has to do with the future. Enough looking back at Donald Trump. I think enough people have done that I think she needs to really focus. I mean, she'll probably do a little bit of the I know that his type and I'm a prosecutor, I'll make the case, but really focus on what she will do and make people leave this convention and turn off their TVs at night feeling really good about her.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think the strongest argument or the strongest theme that the Democrats have going for them right now is that future versus the past. If you're going to be the younger candidate in this race, especially after the Republicans were making a big deal about age,
Right.
looking toward the future and saying this is the next generation is something that first off will attract younger voters, and second will just, I think, solidify the difference, solidify the contrast between the two candidates.
And we're seeing that energy with the younger voters, with women, with black voters. I mean, the numbers, when you break down into the what we call the crosstabs in the polling, it's pretty dramatic. I mean, she's leaped up 5, 10 points over Joe Biden in a lot of categories. And that's why she's got this lead now in the polls. But they all know this is a long way from settled. And we've talked about this week. They're focusing on the ground game, on turning out voters, and they're going to do an all-out push over the next 11 weeks.
And, I was discussing this with a couple of delegates earlier today. Everybody's been saying we have only, 75, what is it now, days
Right.
before the election, and complaining about it. Turn around. We only have 75 days to keep this energy up. They're starting to realize that now, that wait a minute, we've got a short campaign. We can stay awake for 75 days.
I don't know if you and I can stay awake for 75 days. The amount of sleep we've had this week. The other thing is, we're 2 weeks out from the first debate. Or is it? Would that be 2 weeks? It's almost 3 weeks, I guess, from the first debate, which will be the next big signpost in this campaign. And we'll see how that goes. But we'll leave that for another day. Craig Delamore, WBBM. I'm Doug Sovereign with KCBS. Thanks, Craig, for being doing this with us all week.
I'm glad. I'm sorry it's coming to an end, but I need the rest.
I'm with you there. It's been a great ride. We're almost there at the finish line, and we're all going to sleep well this weekend. Thanks a lot, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Craig Delamore of WBBM News Radio in Chicago and Doug Sovereign of KCBS Radio in San Francisco for this on-the-scene convention coverage. This show is produced by Joe Heedy, Christy Strouser, and by me. I'm Lauren Barry, and I want to thank you for listening to this special edition of the On Deadline podcast coming to you from the 2024 Democratic National Convention. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.